Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Lady Gaga delivers at the Super Bowl. I question my lack of interest in Beyoncé and her pregnancy. David Beckham becomes a knight, but not without controversy. And Sherry Shepherd remains ignorant on the set of Dr. Oz. Kylie Hodges rejoins the rants here. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from food blogger and podcast producer, Grant's Rants returnee, Kylie Hodges.
Hi! Yay! Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm glad to have you back on. You're like one of the easiest people to talk to.
Oh, thank you.
This is going to be a good episode, kids, so get ready.
Yes, I feel like I don't do enough ranting in life in a public scale. So this is my moment to get a lot of things off my chest with somebody who I assume is probably going to feel the same way.
See, I feel like I do too much. Like, literally, like, everyone knows exactly what's in my head. Like, I'm always trying, I talk about all this nonsense. I feel like, even with all, like, the politics, like, I don't want to, like, you know, piss people off and, like, lose followers, like, God forbid, you know? So I try to, like, you know, bring it in, but people know. You know, right. People can just tell. Like, I'm such an open book and so loud with all this stuff, especially now lately. Like, it's like, yeah, people know. I rant a little too much, so maybe you can balance it out.
But I think also now more than ever, entertainment is so important for people to find a place to, like, just zen out and not have to read the news, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like now being informed is bordering the same line as, like, going insane. And so it's kind of nice to have an escape of, like, you know, talking crap about the housewives.
Yeah. You know, you gotta kind of keep it light and have some fun. I think we all need some positivity and something to celebrate. And with that, I will say that our next episode is going to be really great. It's going to be episode number 50. And I've decided that that's something to celebrate. Why not?
It is.
It's a lot of work to do these shows.
Yes.
And, you know, just to remain consistent. And I've been able to deliver a lot of content this year, more consistent than ever. So I'm happy with that.
You should be proud of yourself. Grant's Rants has come so far. Yes. Do you know what number episode I was on before?
Oh, Lord.
It was a while ago. Yes. It was well over a year ago, and I feel like the show's really grown a lot. So
yes. This
is worth patting yourself on the back for.
I always note which episodes people have been on in the past beneath the info on this episode.
Cool.
Or whatever they're on. You were on 12 and 15.
Wow. Look at that.
So it's been a minute.
How far you've come.
And we have to catch up. So that's a good thing. Super Bowl Sunday, we're sitting here. You saw the whole game.
Yeah.
I saw zero of the game, but I did see the halftime show.
Yeah.
And I went into it with the expectations of it being, like, highly political and, you know, something we were going to see, like, maybe, like, something like a dramatic, like, art piece, someone being maybe, like, you know, thrown across the floor. You know, I was in it for, like, whatever was going to happen. But I have to say, it was entertaining, and it seemed to be dialed back, and it wasn't as buzzworthy as I thought it would be, but, I mean, I was entertained.
Right. I went into it with the same thoughts as you. I was convinced Lady Gaga was going to have some sort of political agenda, and I was really excited to see what she was going to do. And, you know, Lady Gaga's dramatic. I mean, what was it? The VMA, she rolled up in, like, some sort of weird, like, egg
and then,
like, birthed herself. She wore a meat dress. I mean, we expect anything out of her. And then it was a great show. I mean, she jumped off the frickin' rooftop, I think. I don't know. The cameras kind of tricked us, so I couldn't really tell where she was. But when she started out where it looked like the night sky was shining above her, and then she jumped, I had a little Super Bowl party, and everybody in the room went, oh, snap! And we were loving that she was hanging from the ceiling suspended. It was very pink. Because, you know, Pink does a lot of those
I don't
flips.
Care for her.
Oh, you don't like
much.
Pink?
No.
Oh, I love Pink.
I'm tired of watching Pink flip upside down. This is a different blonde. She's not even blonde. Oh, she's still got the pink highlights after all
different
these years.
Different pop star.
Different chick, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was a great show. I was also really surprised she didn't have a surprise guest. A lot of Super Bowl halftime performances always have, like, that one surprise guest. And when she was singing Telephone, I was like, you guys, Beyonce is going to come out. She's going to come through the ceiling or come through the floor. And she never did. But I think Lady Gaga held her own. The only thing is, it made me realize Lady Gaga's not much of a dancer. But she did okay. She did fine. She did great.
I think she's a pro. I think that she made it look effortless the way she ran from this corner to climb this staircase. And, and then the outfit changes. I was very impressed with her overall. I love the old original Gaga. So when she opened up with Poker Face, that was like my jam.
Yeah.
So I loved that. It was like a cute Texas tie-in with being there. Mm-hmm. Very creative. And I loved the almost, this was almost like the evolution of the Gaga look a little bit. Because it was back in the day, even with telephones, she had like the she used to make all those innovations. She had an interesting phone that she used. And the look and the dance moves that were very iconic to that time period. And of course, Bad Romance always makes a good show.
Right. Favorite Lady Gaga song of mine, for sure. But there was something about when she was performing and doing the like claw thing where I was like, that looks weird in this moment. It sort of looks like she's twitching. And I wanted her to just stop. Let the backup dancers do that.
I have admitted on this show, I have not enjoyed this latest Gaga album.
Oh, really?
At all. I've fallen off with her, sadly. But listening to her, the older stuff, seeing her give that same energy and that same look and feel that she delivered when we first introduced to her, like reinvigorated her for me. And I love that she went there and did that. And I always think it's interesting to see what these stars view as their hits and what's missing. You know, there's a lot of flops in between. Let's be real. You know what I mean?
So. Well, what was that one kind of like country song that she sang that took me like forever to realize it was her? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I thought she was going to maybe duet that with somebody for a second. Or like, what if Tony Bennett came out of the floor?
Yes.
But I think she did a good job. And I think it also shows that you have true talent if you can take something that used to be like super risque and raunchy and make it a knock out of the park performance for something that has to be super vanilla like the Super Bowl halftime show.
Right. Yeah. I bet they must have told her, you got to do, like, dull this, take this down.
I'm sure. Yeah. It's Fox. I mean, they started her out where she was singing like, saying a minute of like God Bless America or whatever. I'm sure somebody in Fox was like, you say that and you don't say anything else. You don't make any faces implying this is a Trump statement. Don't even think about his name at your performance.
Yep. I also liked Born This Way, of course, because of the message. And I feel like a message like that that's inclusive and loving has been missing for a while from television and from anything mainstream. I mean, everything is just so low and base right now, you know? So at least that was something that was nice. And she even said, like, I want to make you all feel good, which I was like, oh my God, like, hold on, maybe we all need this moment, you know?
Lady Gaga, she gets us.
Yes. Well,
yeah, we did need that performance. I think she did a great job.
You mentioned Beyonce, and of course, the first thing I see on Facebook is that Beyonce did it better. And I'm like, hold
on. Wait, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I'm glad I didn't. Why would you even compare the two? They're two different types of singers. Beyonce didn't have Bad Romance, just like Lady Gaga didn't have Single Ladies.
Good point.
Two different types of songs, two different singers, two different performances.
Exactly. Look, I'm so, like, when it comes to Beyonce, it's an unpopular opinion, but I'm just not there for it. I'm like, whatever, I just have a hard time accepting things and people that are so overrated.
And have you always felt like, were you a Destiny's Child fan?
Yeah, I like some of that stuff.
Okay,
yeah,
so it's when Beyonce went solo that you kind of checked out.
Well, even her first album I thought was great, but it's like this whole, she knows who she is and she's like trying to create like this like movement within herself, and that's her prerogative, but it's just that music doesn't translate to me. Like this last EP did nothing for me. Like it just doesn't work for me in that way, and I feel like she's just so overrated. It's such an unpopular statement, but this is my rant.
Well, and I think this is your safe space to say how you feel. I wouldn't go as far as to say that I feel she's overrated, but I will say that she has definitely honed in on who her audience is, and you just don't fit her audience.
No,
so I don't
I
think
don't.
If you told that to her face, she would just be like, okay, well.
Yeah.
You're not a girl from Houston, so.
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm not singing for you, baby.
Right, and that's totally cool. That's totally cool. I just feel like it's always like, she is always higher up than everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, if you're not on that train, it's hard. Yeah. You know, if you're not like right there behind her, it's like, you can't connect to certain people. Like, I'm just, I don't know. I'm like, we immediately have to like, We needed her on the show to do the telephone. So it wasn't enough what we had. But to your point, like you mentioned earlier, there's usually someone else mixed in. Yeah. That was the one criticism I will give to the overall halftime performance was, like, of course, Gaga, take your moment. I mean, of course. But I think there was some room for maybe at least one interaction, you know?
At the very beginning, it seemed like her outfit was kind of paying a little nod to David Bowie. And so I thought maybe she was going to do like a David Bowie cover or something to incorporate somebody else other than herself. And yeah, I was just a slightly bit bummed that there never was a surprise guest. Mm-hmm. But I think she held her own and I think she did great.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, she just had a good body of work for it to speak for
itself. Yeah, oh yeah. So, she looked amazing in that crop top. I was like, ooh, Lady Gaga, those abs.
Yeah, good for her.
She's been working out, yeah.
Well, anyway, for those of you concerned about my distaste in Beyoncé, we're going to talk about her.
Makes me laugh a lot.
I don't hate the girl. I just don't see it. I just don't. I don't idolize her. That's it. I don't idolize her. Yeah, I idolize Britney and people. I can hear you rolling your eyes.
Britney.
I can hear the eye rolls. But look, Britney to me is next level. She's the biggest name in the room. Like, you can't tell me different. Like, she is an icon.
And Britney needs our support. Like, ever since she's been under the conservatorship, is that how you say it?
Yeah, but that was...
Of her dad. I just feel so sad for her.
That was almost 10 years ago, though.
Is she not under his, like,
eye
anymore?
She still is. She is, for financial reasons.
Right.
But she's got her kids. She's got her life.
She's really mellowed out.
Yeah, she even on her social media, like, she's just, like, another person, you know? So I'm very proud of her, and I will always worship... Last Spears.
Well, yeah, same here. And I never really realized how loyal I was to her until recently in social media I saw somebody hating on her. And, like, 10-year-old Kylie just got super pissed off.
Good for you.
And then, you know, grown-up Kylie was like, wait, where's this coming from? I haven't bought a Britney Spears album in 10 years. Why am I so fired up about this? Oh, because she was the first pop star that I idolized growing up.
Yeah.
And you never, it's like a first love. You don't let that go.
Yeah. If you have the opportunity, see the show in Vegas.
Oh, I've been wanting to. Is she still good, though? Because there was a while where it's like, people weren't loving it, and then she went through a really good phase. Is she still good?
I mean, I think it's amazing.
Okay.
But, I mean, she's also been doing that performance all over the world. The Apple Music Festival in London, she's been taking it to all those jingle balls and all that all over the country. And, I mean, I was so thoroughly entertained in its surpass, because I went in with zero expectations.
Yeah.
Because I had heard what you heard initially, but they've renovated the show now a couple times. They've added things, subtracted things. The new album came out in June, so they've added some of that in. And, I mean, I think it's excellent. So
It's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah, especially if you're a fan back in the day, because it's just as much that as it is the new stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's really just, like, a good time. You know, I loved it.
Britney.
So, well, Beyonce, people are looking forward to seeing her at Coachella. And there was so much, talk about it in the news feed, you know, so much angst when she made this pregnancy announcement, if she was going to be performing at Coachella, which I like Beyonce, I find Coachella to be a little overrated myself.
Yeah, I would rather save $1,000 and not stand in the desert with sand in my eyeballs for 3 days straight and being dehydrated.
That's why I'll go to the Access Arena in Vegas for Britney. Yeah. I'll sit in a nice chair to start, of course, be on my feet for the little show, but I can go out and get a drink if I want, and I can go back to a luxury hotel room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I have no interest in you know, of course, you know, I've been like kind of like mean too, where I'm just like, oh, everyone's talking about this Coachella thing. Like, I'm just not into it. Like, I feel like I feel like a grumpy old man. Like, who cares?
No, I was talking about this with somebody earlier. I think anybody younger than 25 cares about Coachella, and also people who do drugs and are more likely to be single are more into Coachella too. Because those are all things.
I'm doing
it's like
one
going
of those
out
things,
at bars, you know. But like, when you're in a relationship or when you're old and tired, you don't want to party really hard.
Right.
And like, Coachella is hardcore. It's camping in the middle of the desert that like humanity shouldn't be able to survive in. You know? There's no water.
With drugs.
Exactly. You have to get by on Molly. That's the only way to make it through the weekend. But with the Beyonce thing, I will say, because she's pregnant with twins, it is feasible to worry if she's going to perform, because a twin, having a multiples pregnancy puts you at high risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could be put on bed rest by that time, because you get real big, real fast, and most people pregnant with multiples have their babies pretty early. Mm. And so I'm curious when she signed her contract to join the lineup, because I think they dropped the lineup at the very beginning of January, like January 1st. She had to have known she was pregnant.
Yeah,
then.
She had to.
But did she know she had multiples?
Mm, well,
so that's the question. Because if she signed that contract thinking, even if I don't perform, I'm still going to make a pretty penny, that's shady.
Mm-hmm. True, true.
We'll find out.
Well, she's set to make a million anyway, regardless of what happens, because... there's a lot of times this article on Page Six said that there's a lot of insurance policies that include complications for high risk pregnancy, which falls right into line with what you were saying. Mm-hmm. So she could still collect and just say bye.
Yeah.
Which would be awful. I mean, that's just terrible. But
this is
business.
Blue Ivy's college fund. Bye.
yep. See you later. TMZ today said that she's still going to be performing and that they've secured private housing for her. And that she's supposed to have two surprise performers come on and join her. Mm. And then it's like, and one of them is most likely going to be Jay-Z. Is that really a surprise?
No, I mean, now it's like an expectation. If there's no Jay-Z performing with Beyonce, it's like you only got half of the ticket that you expected.
True, true, yeah. So, well, for anyone checking for her, you can relax. You can sleep tonight. She looks like she's still going.
Did you already tell... your feelings on Grant's rants about her pregnancy announcement?
No.
I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on that picture?
Well.
It's so funny to me. And now, like, Beyonce is so over the top that now I don't know if I take her seriously. I just am curious what she's going to do next. Like, that photo to me is hilarious. And you know in Napoleon Dynamite where the girl is the photographer and she's like, put your chin on your fist and think about rainbows. Yeah. I imagine that was the girl who took that picture of Beyonce.
Yeah, just some, like,
she was like,
this
needs more flowers and a veil. There we go. Perfect.
Well, I do love a good over-the-top announcement. I do like that. You know, I mean, I thought it was kind of cool. When it comes to her in general... I know that whatever she does, I'm going to have to hear about and hear about and hear about. I know it's going to be a huge deal and shoved down my throat. So I kind of always, like, scroll through the news quickly with her. Because I know, like, just through osmosis, I will know all this unnecessary information soon enough. Because it's just everywhere with her. So, I mean, I'm happy for her. She seems happy. Good for her and her husband. She's going to have, like, a little balanced family over there with three kids. And good for her. So.
Wow. That was such a nice answer.
Yes.
I thought you were going to complain about it.
Nah, no shame. I mean, look. We're in dark times here.
Yeah.
You know,
could be worse.
That, that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. Of course, like, if someone's had, that was, you know, a planned pregnancy, which I'm sure it was, like, good for her. Like, she got what she wanted out of it, and that's it. So, good for you. But I don't really care. I don't care about that
pregnancy.
You don't
have to.
No. Nah. So, but I thought the whole Coachella thing and the tie-in would be interesting, since there was so much... talk about her. Like, people were like, the first thing, this one guy, should I already be selling my tickets from now? Like, is it really all about her? I guess it is. I guess they don't care about anybody else.
The lineup does look pretty good, but I remember thinking the lineup looked really good, but I can't even remember off the top of my head who else is performing now other than Beyonce.
I have no idea.
So that wasn't maybe it's not that great if I can't remember.
Not for me. No. Well, David Beckham is in the news with an interesting story about, he's now Sir David Beckham. And I didn't even realize he was knighted.
I didn't know that either.
No, I just thought, I was like, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
But he's worked with UNICEF, and by his charitable ways, he somehow received this knighthood. And now there's a bunch of alleged leaked emails that have come out regarding him, and... if his intentions were correct and wanting to give so much time and money and effort into working with UNICEF. And you know, it doesn't look good anyway. They're saying that it was a strategic move for him to do this so he could just be a knight.
But, like, other than having the bragging rights of saying, oh, I've been knighted, does anything else come with it? Do you become, like, immortalized? Or, like, what happened?
Yeah, what's the benefit?
What's the point? You know, I don't want to believe that. I really like Victoria Beckham, and so by default, I like him too. And I want to believe that they're really good people with good hearts, and so he doesn't have some, like, gross, self-centered ulterior motive just to be knighted, if that means hanging out with UNICEF. have.
I know.
But
it's sad, right?
Also, like, this world is a sick place, and there's a lot of things about celebrities that I think, if their true colors really showed to the world, they would not have a fan following. So I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, these emails are mixed. It's like, they said that they were, like, dismissed and that they were doctored. And for as an example, one of them said, unless, according to this email, according to, like, Page Six or Daily Mail, David Beckham allegedly said, unless it's a knighthood, F off. And the effing money is mine. So, like, he does, it's showing that he's not very charitable with his money and that he only is there for the knighthood. So then it's like, okay, look, maybe it's made up. Well, then David admitted that he did send those emails and it was heated and impassioned and it was in the moment. But yet some of them were still doctored. So I'm like, all right, hold on. Are you owning this or not?
Yeah.
You know, is it all made up or what? David's rep said it was outdated material that was all taken out of context.
I mean, I feel like, why is he dropping the F-bomb when talking about UNICEF to begin with?
I know. That's so
what
true.
Is getting you so worked up about helping children in need?
I know.
It's not
it doesn't
like,
look good.
I mean, and look, dude, like, you play soccer for a living. It's not like you have the hardest, most stressful life. The least you can do is give back to the starving kitties in whatever third world country that UNICEF is donating for and just, like, be a good person for 2 hours out of your week or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So I don't know what is it that got him so heated to begin with? I think that's the question we need to ask.
That's true. I don't like spoiled adults. And if he was in it just to get some type of knightship, I mean, ridiculous. Knighthood.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Yeah, so I don't know where I stand with him because I honestly haven't followed him and Posh. So I don't really know what their track record is. Like, I don't really know anything about their character. But it looks fishy to me.
It does. And I will say, Victoria seems like a really cool person, but she's also a huge diva. But that's why I like her.
Right.
So maybe it is all true. Like, maybe they've managed to make their diva ways look really cute and adorable in the public eye, but in real life, maybe he's a monster.
Maybe. And it wouldn't be out of character to have someone of such stature and popularity worldwide who, let's be real, he knows he's hot. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
It wouldn't be a stretch
for
him to feel as though he has to get something out of being charitable.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know, David, to me, it looks like you just wanted that title. That's why
I'm curious
I've come to this conclusion after this conversation.
Yeah. I'm curious to anybody listening who's a devout David Beckham fan, what their thoughts are.
Well, Piers Morgan will let you know what his thoughts are. He
Lord.
Of course, slamming
Do
them.
Do we care about him?
He's like the trash man. He's like following the garbage truck to like pick up like whatever he can get. You know what I mean? I thought he was laughed off television.
Yeah, didn't he get... I saw him at a red carpet a few years ago and it was like the week after he got fired. Because he had a show, right? And then it got canceled.
Yeah, Piers Morgan Tonight. But now he's like on the morning show. And I could be totally wrong, but as of a couple weeks ago, I saw that he was a co-host on the morning show, like the Today Show's version in the UK. So I don't believe he's on American television anymore, and that's okay with me.
Yeah, the UK can keep him. I see nothing, no reason why I need to see him on my television.
No, me neither.
Bye, Pierce.
Yeah. Well, speaking of seeing someone on your TV, Sherry Shepherd was back on mine. And I was like, okay, it's time. We have to do a Sherry Shepherd update on Grant's Rants. I don't know if many people care, but it's a juicy one, so pretend. It's a good one.
This makes me really happy. I feel like every time I see you, you've got some Sherry Shepherd scoop. So I expect nothing less from you.
Well, first of all, this one, as fake as can be, is over on the Dr. Oz show. And of course, like, she's going to be asked about all of this drama going on with not one, but two ex-husbands. The most recent, who wants all this money for her. They had the child and out of the Petri dish that she never wanted. And then, but she did want it when she signed the paperwork, but then said that she has nothing to do with it after the baby was born because she didn't want to be financially responsible. We've talked about it on the show quite a bit.
Right.
There's your update. I mean, your recap.
Right. But also, also, she would still be financially responsible regardless. I mean, it's split custody, or it's not split custody, but she would owe child support, right?
Well, her name is on the legal documents.
It's not just deadbeat dads that pay child support, it's deadbeat moms, too.
Right.
Like Sherry Shepherd.
So he was asking her about it, and she had on this huge smile, like this big fake, like. And I was like, this is serious. Like, I don't, like, you look so bad, Sherry. Like, I don't understand what's so funny about this. And you know you're going to get asked for it, or you wouldn't go on Dr. Oz, which I don't know why you're on there anyway.
Right, that's my question.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. And so she now claims that she had a tight prenup and that she would always be there to provide for her son. Well, that's not what we reported on the show, and that's not what Wendy talked about, and that's not what was in the news. The story was that she claimed she had no claim on that child, she had no fiduciary responsibility, and that she wanted nothing to do with it because she was conned into having this kid with the husband who she was already, like, filed from or divorced from, so she wanted nothing to do with it. Now she's cleaning up her image. She wants us to believe.
Well, right, because think about all the people who used to watch her on those morning TV shows. Those are moms who can't imagine abandoning their child. So she probably lost a giant demographic by dismissing a baby that she gave consent to making and paid to have created and surrogate carried by somebody else, and then suddenly doesn't want to have anything to do with it. In my eyes, that means she was trying to save her marriage. A lot of people try to have babies to save marriages that are on the rocks. And then when the marriage went south, she was like, oh, I guess I didn't really want the kid that much to begin with. I'm going to put this on him. But how crappy. I don't care if you're a mom or a dad. You take care of your child. Do not be a deadbeat parent. And to me, she's a deadbeat parent.
Well, she's claiming that the ex-husband is a deadbeat parent because he doesn't have a job and he just collects off of her. She pays for child support, basically she pays his rent. It's $4,100 a month. So that's a lot. And the ex-husband took her to court and wanted more from her. Mm-hmm. And she still has to pay restitution or something to her first husband.
Yeah.
So she was talking about how she has to work all these jobs to pay off all these men who don't work.
And that's really funny.
I mean, I do feel bad for her in that sense because there's no
that's a lot of money. Yeah. If Sherry has to work multiple TV jobs to pay her ex-husband, she's shelling out some heavy spousal support.
I mean, you know, I have no tolerance of people who choose to be out of work.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not cool with this. So in her defense, that sucks. But, you know, then because this was settled in the state of California, that ex-husband is getting a certain amount. If it was settled in New Jersey, where they resided originally, she would be entitled to a lot less.
Oh,
so the California judge threw it out and said, no, you're not getting any more than what you're getting. So he could potentially go and try to maneuver things and manipulate things in New Jersey, but it would only hurt him because he would end up making less.
Well, and it's so interesting because I feel like you never really hear about these stories of moms being the deadbeat.
True. Very different.
And a lot of times the courts tend to lean into the mother's case, even if the mother sucks.
Right.
Just because a lot of times the courts are always like, the child should be with the mother. But in this case, the mom's like, nah, just take my money.
Yeah.
Call me when you're 18 or maybe when you're 21 and we'll get a drink.
This is where, again,
it's so bizarre to me.
I'm continuing to look at you strange, Sherry, because you were trying to spin it. On the show, I watched you. You're trying to spin it saying that you don't want a relationship with the child because you have such a poor relationship with the father that because you don't get along, you don't want to be in the picture. There's ways around all that.
Right.
Co-parenting happens in all different ways at all different ages.
Yep.
That's no excuse to me. I mean, I think that's really low.
And doesn't she have another child?
Yes.
Is she raising that child?
She is, yes.
Can you imagine the abandoned child grows up and finds out mom didn't want to raise you, but wanted to raise your half-sibling? How crappy.
Well, she also says, though, that, oh, I take care of them the same, though, because this baby I've never met that's my own is on my health insurance, so.
Oh, yeah, and then she said it, like, as part of her life insurance, too.
Yeah.
Whatever, Sherry.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
She can't find the time or the interest to be bothered with the child yet. She went on a Twitter rant in January all about the husbands and the pay and how much she owes them.
Oh, God.
That is so
personal.
You know
what? Write in your diary, Sherry.
Yeah, that's your own problem.
I follow her on Instagram. It's more of a hate follow, although I wish it didn't contribute to her numbers.
I know.
She goes live on Instagram so much, and I have yet to, like, actually watch, but every time I see a notification, I'm like, damn it, Sherry, you're blowing up my phone, and I don't care what you're doing right now. I can't unfollow, though. I just can't.
I had to turn all those notifications off of the live because it was getting to be a lot. It was really getting to be a lot. And it's always someone I didn't care about.
Right, right. Mainly Sherry Shepherd.
Mainly Sherry. You need to keep that baby and that ex-husband out of your mouth. You know, you've got a show coming on. You know, stop. Just go and promote that stuff because this only makes you look bad no matter how hard. And now you're really spinning it. And I'm telling you, I can tell you're full of it. I know.
I wonder how good of a mom she really is, too. Like, maybe it's a blessing that she's not raising this kid.
Ooh, I don't know.
Really? I mean, isn't she the one that thought the world was flat?
Yes, Sherry, the world is flat.
Are you competent enough to raise another human life? Maybe the ex-husband's onto something.
You know, I think you're onto something. When Barbara notoriously asked her, what if your son asked you, Mom, is the world round? She said, well, baby, we gotta go to the library.
Oh my God!
So.
Oh, well, at least she's pushing education.
Yes. Sherry, I'm trying with you, but I mean, there's a reason why we have an award. The Sherry Shepherd Award for Excellence in Ignorance.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms and YouTube for bonus content. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Kylie Hodges.
Hello.
And it's time to catch up. So the last time you were on, you were working at Pytown, like, life has changed in over a year, of course.
Yeah.
So where are you now? What happened?
So now I'm working freelance. I was working on the show Flipper Flop on HGTV, and then my contract came up for renewal, and I actually asked to leave it. And I learned a lot. I was story producing on that show. But, you know, I realized that reality isn't really where I want to advance my career. And so now I'm kind of taking a step back and living the freelance life a little bit. I'm doing some freelance blogging, but mainly I'm producing Cosmo's podcast, which is called Happy Hour.
Mm-hmm.
The last episode that we just brought out is called Fuck Boys, and it's all about, you guessed it, fuck boys. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the topics are a little raunchier, but really fun.
I know.
Are you going to have to bleep me? Did I just make this episode explicit?
Yes. Well, if that's the name of the show, then we'll have to mark it as explicit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, no, I scrolled through just before you came just to see what the latest shows are, because I actually listened to one episode that you put on Facebook. What was it called? It was called How to Deal with Failure.
Yes.
And I remember you said, like, oh, this is a really good listen. And I was like, you know what? I think this speaks to everyone. Like, you know, like, it doesn't matter if I'm not the demo exactly for your podcast.
But that episode in particular, we had Suzanne Senna, who is a hosting coach here in LA. And she coached me a year ago. And I think that she's a really positive coach in an industry where a lot of people feed off of negativity. And it's nice to have somebody who's so encouraging. And she gives some really good life advice. Not even career advice. Just, like, how to manage, you know, somebody whose job is constantly up and down when you're auditioning for your next job all the time. She just gave some really good tips on how to approach it in a positive, optimistic way.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but after I listened to that episode for the first time, I was driving and I remember being like, I'm ready to make some moves with my career. I gotta pull over. I gotta make some emails. I gotta do this.
Yes, it was very inspiring. I loved listening to it because I've heard so many good things about her.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see, like, what she has to present. Like, I've been on her website, and I considered taking some classes from her.
She's great.
And I've only heard good things. So I was like, oh, well, this is kind of like free, unsolicited advice that I get from her. And yeah, so check that out.
Yeah.
It's Cosmo Happy Hour.
Yeah,
right?
Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast. It's on iTunes. It's a little picture of a martini, obviously. I mean, a Cosmo girl loves pink and loves martini, so it's very in that Cosmo niche. But it's a good show. And, like, we did an episode about heroin addiction. So, I mean, it's not all fluff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one was heavy.
I bet.
Yeah.
And so you're producing these?
Yeah, I'm just... But, I mean, like, I'm doing everything behind the scenes. The host, her name is Elisa Benson, and she works in New York at Cosmo, where it's recorded. But the Fuck Boys episode that... came out last week. I actually went out on Hollywood Boulevard and was doing man on the street interviews with random guys to ask them what they thought the term fuckboy means. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I never want to go back to Hollywood Boulevard ever again. I live so close and yet I never go on it. And then the one time I do and I talk to strangers, I was like, this is horrible. Spider-Man was like chasing me.
Oh
yeah.
I totally dread about that. I actually just saw La La Land at that Chinese theater.
Okay, yeah.
And I've been out here now for many years, like 8-9 years, and I've always avoided, like, and just I never even went, you know. So I was like,
but that theater's cool.
Yeah, I never gone, so I was glad that I got the opportunity to experience it. But yeah, no, I'm probably not gonna run back there.
No, nobody should.
No.
And if you've never been to LA and you're thinking about it, don't go to Hollywood Boulevard. Just Google it.
Just drive through it if you have to see it.
Yeah,
you
know? And preferably in an Uber. Don't actually drive through traffic because it's horrible there.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna flip or flop. So much drama. What can
so
you say?
So much drama.
What do you make of all the drama?
You know what? Contractually, I don't know how much I can say, but what I can tell you is. What you see is what you get. I mean, I don't, you
okay,
know, the show,
right.
The show is very specific. It's about them flipping houses. It's not really about their personal lives. So you come to your own conclusions about whatever you're hearing.
Read between the lines.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. There's so much drama around that, and I have you on. We have to talk about it.
It's valid.
You were the first person I thought of when I saw that guy's face on the cover of every magazine. I was like, I bet this one knows. I bet this was not a surprise to a certain someone.
It didn't knock me off my rocker.
Okay.
No.
Yes. Well, we won't get you in trouble with that, but I just thought it would be interesting to chat about.
Well, and working on that show, I was in the field with them every day, so I know them personally really, really well.
Yeah.
Or I did know them personally really well. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into a 23-minute TV show, and usually getting down to the minutiae of somebody's personal life just doesn't fit in with the storyline of what are we going to do with this house?
Right.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's an HGTV show, and with that, they're just going to stick to the house.
What was the process like for you to make that decision to leave your post and to leave reality and leaving that story producer position that you had worked up to? Did you start as a receptionist there?
Yeah, I started out as a PA. I was delivering lunches to the execs and like driving their dogs to their house and like just doing assistant work. And you know, it was my first big girl job in LA, and I sort of ran with it. I never came out here wanting to work in reality, and not to say it's a bad thing, but I don't know anybody who comes out here wanting to work in reality. And if you do, you want to be on a reality show. You're not dying to be a producer behind the scenes of it, except for maybe like The Bachelor, although I've heard that's a very difficult job as well. But nevertheless, I wanted to kind of ride it out, see what happens. I learned so much. I learned so, so much about producing. But it's just a whole different world. And you know, I'm just as much an on-air host as I am a behind-the-scenes producer. And I've realized that I only want to be producing things that I'm really passionate about. And so if it's something that's a creative endeavor that I feel like I've, you know, conceptualized and I'm passionate about and I want to work on 24 hours a day, that's when my producing skills really shine. And so I think for me, financially, I'd been saving up to go freelance for a little while. And it's really scary. It's not, you know, it's not all that it's cracked up to be, because every day I'm like, oh, I hope this week I get this gig that I had been hoping for so that I can pay for next month's rent or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like really liberating and a little, it really makes you really have to believe in yourself. Because nobody else believes in you, and you have to go the extra mile to truly sell yourself to make sure that you're going to get that gig, you're going to be the person selected for this opportunity.
Right.
And I'm telling you, I have been doing a lot of meditating, reading a lot of like self-encouragement books because exactly I need it.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should be doing. Yeah.
And but it's great. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy, and I've been able to put my time into what I want to put my time into. I'm really passionate about cooking, so I've been blogging about my cooking. And I've also been able to spend a lot of time with my family. So because I don't have that Monday through Friday job anymore, my boyfriend Omar, who's a stand-up comedian, we took a month-long road trip, and we drove all across the country visiting family that we don't normally get to see. Kissed a lot of babies, you know, ate a lot of random meals from old friends, and it was really nice. And he got to make a comedy tour out of it. So it was a winning situation.
Great. Yeah. It sounds like you know, when you get out of these jobs, you get to live again, you know?
Yes. But you also realize how much you took for granted a steady paycheck and like the simple joys of like, you know, if I would quickly go to the mall on my lunch break and on a whim, like, buy an outfit just because. And now I have to be like, hang on. Can I buy this outfit? Do I need this outfit? Or do I need to eat next week? You know?
Yeah.
It really puts things into perspective. But I think that for some people, and myself in particular, sometimes you have to starve yourself a little bit in order to make yourself extra hungry for what you're fighting for.
Yeah. I mean, I was in that boat, but it wasn't necessarily my choice to be extra hungry.
It's hard. It's really hard. Yeah. And you really have to take a step back and think, what is my end goal?
Yeah.
How much am I willing to sacrifice to get to it?
Yeah.
Some sacrifice more than others.
That's a story we haven't had on this show. It's from someone who really did make a sacrifice and switched lanes like you did and was bold enough to do it. You know, for me, I feel like I would have to really, I'd be like weighing options and like overthinking it for like, you know, like a year and a half before doing something. You know, I kind of get the feeling with you though that you just kind of knew it was time to do that.
I did know it was time, but it was a long time coming. I worked on Flipper Flop for 3 years. And I knew that it wasn't going to be like an end all career for me. Granted, no TV show is. TV
True.
Is so fleeting. But I also knew that like reality wasn't going to be my end all career. And so I was just trying to figure out like when is the right time for me to make that pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And now is that time because I feel really confident as a producer. I feel really confident as a host. And I just think that creatively for me, it's now or never. But also, I like just found out that there's like 10 weddings that I have to go to this year. So I'm like, screw all of my friends who got engaged. This is the worst year for me to have to fly across the country for like all the weddings. Because no wedding is cheap. No. Even if it's local, you're dropping how much on the gift and whatever.
Exactly. So. There's so many obligations with them. Yeah.
Weddings are becoming more and more of a thing. Like before it was like you show up. You give a gift and that's it.
Right? So that's a big deal. For me, like out here, no one gets married. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
for
my friends back home getting married.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
And like, but weddings are such an ordeal now. You know, they plan a whole weekend. There's activities. And then the bachelorette party you have to fly across the country for. And the bridal shower. I mean, it's like, you can't just get married. You have to have a whole year dedicated to yourself. And I used to be that crazy girlfriend that was always pestering my boyfriend Omar to be like, man, why are we getting married? Don't you love me? And now I'm like, we don't need to get married because this shit is ridiculous. Also, I just got, my mom sent me a Dutch oven in the mail recently because she knew I'd been wanting one. And it was a surprise. And as soon as I got it, I was like, Omar, we don't need to get married anymore because I only wanted gifts from the registry.
There you go, perfect. I know, that was like me when I moved into my new place. I was like, well, I'm not getting married, so I have to buy all this stuff. I have to buy all these little things.
Yeah, like, you have to truly take care of yourself.
Right, yeah. Because it's like, I thought about it. I was like, well, how do other people do this? Like, how did my parents get all the appliances and the crystal and all this stuff?
Marriage.
And I was like, they got married. So I'm like, oh, somehow I have to get this stuff in my life.
Yeah.
So,
well,
working
you know,
on it, working on it.
I mean, I have heard you can make a pretty penny if you marry somebody who's looking for a green card.
Now more than ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A lucrative job opportunity for you.
Yeah. So I want to hear more about this road trip and all the different places you went. What was that like? Like, so did you just live out of your car or where'd you go?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, last time I was on, I think I talked about this. I drove the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile for a year across the country, and that was my job straight out of college. So road tripping, I kind of like to brag that I'm really good at
it. No stranger to the road.
Yeah, and yes. I've been to almost every state. Part of this road trip was just to kind of knock a few off my list. We went through Oklahoma, which I hadn't been to yet. Actually, Oklahoma's a lot prettier than people give it credit for, which surprised me. But we went from Los Angeles, and the furthest east we went was Wisconsin. And actually, one of our destinations, which was on New Year's Eve, was to Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is way, way up there. It is the frozen tundra where the Green Bay Packers are based. And a good friend of mine who also drove the Wienermobile with me, it was supposed to be her surprise engagement party. Well, it turns out it was a surprise wedding. And it was amazing. I know I was just complaining about weddings a minute ago, but if you're going to have a wedding, do a surprise wedding where nobody feels guilty about being there. They're there by choice because they think they're there for something else, and there's no pressure for them to give gifts. I mean, my boyfriend was there in jeans. But it was so great. It was so fun and lighthearted. And honestly, I was so surprised. I had to, like, go cry in the bathroom. I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah, and it's one less wedding you have to worry about adding to the list. You
exactly.
Like, you're like, here, this is great. We did the trip. He got his comedy shows and we got a wedding off the list. Like, this is productive.
It was great. It was great. And Omar, he's, you know, he's made an imprint in the comedy world here in LA and in Texas where he's from, but he hasn't really gotten to expand out in the Midwest yet. So he hit up a couple clubs in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and it was really cool to see how audiences take his humor compared to audiences here. He's Latino, and so, you know, there's just not that many Mexicans in the Midwest compared to out here. But it's funny because I've always felt that his jokes resonate with everybody, and now I got to see that in action, and so it felt really good as a proud girlfriend manager.
What was it like? What was the reception like the further eastward?
I mean, I'm such an advocate of Middle America. I think that it gets a bad rep. I think
it
that
does get crapped on a lot.
Yes,
it's viewed for a lot of like the problems of the world.
It's always that
correct.
Like one person that's really awful and terrible that ends up making the reputation for all the other awesome people. I mean, like, I come from Wisconsin, and I'd like to think I'm kind of cool. Or at least I'm pretty damn normal.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of really great people there. And, you know, there's always that connotation of, like, Midwest nice. Mm-hmm. Everybody there is super, super nice. And it's true. But also, I think that when you're at a comedy show, you're only going to laugh if you are genuinely finding something funny.
True.
And I think he knocked it out of the park. I think every show, the audiences were really receptive. And, you know, what more could you ask for?
That's great. What a good response.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Always interesting to see what resonates. Like you said, totally different, like, crowd in general, but yet funny is funny. So,
exactly.
Tell me about Pop Trigger. I saw you on this video.
Yeah, so it was literally the day we came back from our road trip. So, I mean, our trip was like LA to El Paso to Dallas, St. Louis, Madison, Wisconsin, Chicago, Minneapolis, Omaha, Denver, New Mexico, back to LA. I mean, it was just a crazy trip. And then the next day, I went to Pop Trigger, which is this awesome YouTube channel. You should check it out. It's run by the Young Turks Network. And they did just like a quick rundown of current events. So let's see. That day we talked about how Shia LaBeouf has that like live streaming. He will not divide us art installation in New York. And I don't know. We talked about a few random things, but it was really fun. And it was nice because I had been gone from LA for a month and I was sort of going through this like, what am I doing with my life thing? And I don't know about you, but whenever you leave LA, you're like, yes, I needed to get out of here.
Oh, it's a total
bubble,
yes. But
then as soon as you come back, you're like, okay, I needed to come back. And that's exactly how I felt. And when I sat down at Pop Trigger, I was like, okay, this is where I'm meant to be. You know, even though my life does not compare to my best friends back home or having babies and comfortably settling into their career, that's not me, and I'm comfortably settling into this really difficult life here, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So it was a good trip, and I feel like Pop Trigger made it come full circle, where it like ended on a note of like, this is what I meant to be doing.
Yeah.
It was great. It was really fun.
I saw the video where you talked about Madonna.
Oh, yes.
Recent winner of the Sherry Shepherd Award.
I forgot all about that. She, you know what? I was telling you this earlier. When she was, I'm all about the cause. I think it's great that she's supporting the Women's March. But like, you know what? When she was giving that speech, I was like, she's not a very good speech giver. Maybe she should have sang it. I mean, that's what she's good at, singing. And, you know, saying you're going to blow up the White House wasn't really helping the cause.
No, not helping anybody.
So, thanks, Madonna.
Yeah, I think everyone was just looking at her like, will you sit the
just
hell down?
Stop.
No matter what, I think something we could all agree on was that this woman has no business in what she's doing.
Yeah, just grab a sign and march among the protesters like a regular person.
Exactly. That's my stance when it comes to celebrities and all of this, these marches and political statements.
Yeah.
It's like, at the end of the day, we're all constituents, and to be able to put someone who's not necessarily anyone involved in government up on a pedestal, telling us and riling people up, like, they're no different than me when it comes to either viewpoints or how we're viewed as a citizen of the United States. Like, so I don't really, that doesn't do anything for me to see people stand out.
You know who I would have liked to see give a speech at that protest? Angelina Jolie. Because she's a UN ambassador.
That's true.
I mean, she's like a celebrity who the UN trusts to actually be responsible. I mean, you're never going to see Madonna be a UN ambassador.
No, that's true. At least she has a title. Madonna is just showing up because she was, you know, to make
She probably
noise.
Had nothing to do.
Exactly.
Oh, my schedule's cleared. I guess I'll go give a speech today.
It's funny, on this show, I've been giving some Madonna shade, and I have to say, people are agreeing.
Really? I thought it would be a lot of angry Madonna supporters.
I thought so, too. I mean, I'm not hating, but Madonna, you did look ignorant.
Yeah, she did.
So,
tone it down.
Anyway, I want to be able to let everyone know where they can find these vlogs or the blogging of the food.
Yes, yes. I'm so into cooking now. It's my jam. You can follow me and Omar cooking on my Instagram at Kylie Hodges. And then on Twitter, I love throwing shade at celebs at the Kylie Hodges.
Wonderful. You're tailor-made for Grant's Ranch,
Oh,
Kylie.
Thank you. I always love coming here.
I love having you on. Of course, we'll have you back. Please keep up with Kylie and look out for our 50th episode coming up next. And if you want to support the show, it's active. Head on over to patreon.com/Grant's Rants. We'll be back with more rants very quickly, very quickly.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.